We kick off the show in style this afternoon by welcoming to the program a writer who has penned over 36 books. You know him perhaps best as the author of Wicked, but to so many wonderful books through the years, including Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister, Mirror, Mirror, Egg and Spoon, and his wonderful new book, Cress Watercress. He's going to be appearing in Blue Hill for a special event sponsored by our friends at the Word Festival, and we are delighted to be joined by Gregory McGuire. Gregory, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rich. I'm so glad to be able to join you this afternoon.
And should I refer to you as Gregory the Executive?
How do you know about that? You've done your research. When I was in an orphanage, when I was a kid, the nuns and nurses used to call me Gregory the Executive because apparently I had a very serious expression on my face and very dubious, as if I saw administrative, you know, shortcuts about which I didn't approve at the age of one.
But it's good to set the tone early in life, right?
Absolutely. And look at my son. You can see my shining visage, and I hope your listeners can hear it. So I did not maintain the Gregory the Executive, you know, sort of Wall Street cast on my brow, I think.
Well, let's talk about this event that's coming up on June 7th down in Blue Hill at the library there. You'll be having a conversation with one of your oldest and dearest friends, in Patricia McMahon. And you two met, was it back in graduate school?
We met in graduate school. I think it's going on, well, how long is that? 45 years ago, maybe? We were both very, very young to be in graduate school, but there we were, and she's a wonderful writer and a great interviewer, I might add, and it's a pleasure to be joining her as part of the Word Festival, and also I'm in town because I'm helping out with a 4-day conference that's running in at the Hiram Blake Camp down there near Agamaugan. I'm blanking suddenly on the name of the town.
Is it Brooksville?
Yes, it is. Yeah, Brooksville. Yeah, exactly. And I've been there before, so I shouldn't blank on the name. But, you know, I'm in Vermont now, and all I can see from where I stood, well, it's not three long mountains and a wood. It's just a thought of green space in a green shade. So,
well, I know one of the things you'll talk about on June 7th is why you made the shift, why you began writing for adults after some success writing for younger people. Let's get a preview of your conversation with Patricia. What made you make that shift?
Well, what made me go from writing for children, which I had done for 15 years, to writing a novel for adults, that was Wicked, the first one, it wasn't the thirst for filthy lucre, I'll tell you, because I did not expect that I was going to be able to make this leap successfully. Nonetheless, I had it in my mind all those years ago that I wanted to write about evil, and I wanted to write about how people, A, can be led into or can find themselves doing things that we would commonly agree are wrong or bad or even evidence of wickedness. And that did not seem to be like subject matter for children. So I thought, Gregory, you better push out of your cage and see whether you can find another area in which to work. And yet at the same time, look what I did, Rich. I decided that in order to explore evil, I was going to set convention on its head, and I was going to take a children's novel and rework it so that one could see that concepts of good and evil are really laced through all our thinking about the world, even when we're little and we're getting our first stories read to us.
Could anybody be prepared for what happened when your book became an absolute global phenomenon through the Broadway production? How do you adjust to that as a writer?
You know, it is an extraordinary thing. I think Wicked has now sold 5 million copies. And one doesn't sign up to be a writer with the notion that one is going to be successful. One signs up thinking, well, I'm going to be eating a lot of lentils in this life, and probably I'm not ever going to turn my heat above 58. But in fact, I must have hit a little note that struck the chord of popular culture, and intrigued people because the book was a big success even before Broadway got a hold of it. And then when Broadway got a hold of it, it became a mega success. So luckily, Rich, I had shortly after Wicked came out, I began to adopt children from overseas. I have three adopted children who are now mostly grown up. And the needs that they had during those heady years where suddenly my career was finally taking off after many years of being, you know, stalled at the side of the commercial highway, the need to take care of these kids on, you know, who were in the world and in my home because I had chosen them and I had brought them in, that was far higher an obligation and something about which to consider than my own glory and success. So I survived it, I'd like to think, partly because the kids helped me. You know, if Cheerios aren't on the table at you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't matter if Oprah's on hold. You got to go get the Cheerios. You know, so I went and got the Cheerios and told Oprah, "You better wait, honey. I'll be back."
Yeah, kids can bring you down to earth in a hurry, can't they?
and a good thing too. And that's not why I adopted them. But boy, did they come in handy.
We're talking with Gregory Maguire here on Downtown. Now, in terms of writing for adults, what's the major difference? Obviously, subject matter, sure, but one of the things that struck me in your work for younger readers is that you don't talk down to them. You treat them with great respect. And so what's the major difference in writing for an adult reader?
Well, I'll tell you, I love my adult books, and if I only were interested in making money, I would only write adult books because I have more of a reputation now in that field than I do in the field of children's books, even though I've worked in children's books a lot longer. However, Rich, I'm not in this just for the money. I'm not in it for the money at all, really. And so if I have a really important thing that I want to say, that I want people to consider, I write it for children because I find that children are much more dedicated readers. And if they take something from the page into their hearts, it stays there. It's part of them. It becomes part of their character and part of their makeup. And what does a writer want any more than that, but a little bit to change the thinking pattern of his or her reader?
Well, I had the joy of reading over the weekend your new one for middle-level readers, Cress Watercress. What a powerful and beautiful book and story and such a wonderful way of talking about everything that's important in life, loss and family and friendship and struggle, and it's captured so beautifully.
Well, I'm really glad you said that, Rich, and I have to admit, I'm really proud of it. You don't often hear me say that about my work because I usually look at something between hardcovers and think, well, in what ways has this one failed? You know, I'm a hard judge of my own work. But Cress Watercress is the story for your listeners. It's the story of a rabbit family that on the first page is leaving their private independent home, their warren, and moving into a situation as a bit of a downgrade for them. And they're moving into the basement flat of an apartment tree where they have to learn to do without their father because the father has disappeared. The father has not come back, and that's why they have to leave their flat, their home, and move into a flat. The mother rabbit, taking care of her children, needs to have other people around because somebody was right when she said it takes a village. This mother rabbit needed somebody else to help her raise the children if the father wasn't ever going to come back. And for a child, rabbit or otherwise, this kind of big transition can be terrifying, can be challenging, but also can open up the child's heart to new experiences and new understandings of competence and new ways to experience joy. And I wanted to put all of that into a book that could be read with a lot of laughter and a lot of adventure. And at the same time, underneath the laughter and the adventure, there's a bedrock of a message which says the emotional life of anyone is always changing. It's as changeable as the seasons. It's as changeable as the phases of the moon. Don't think you're going to get through something like loss and sorrow and never see it again. What you're going to learn is that these things are cyclical and you can feel loss and joy at the very same moment.
So many wonderful characters. Titus the Owl, who operates the broken arms. What a wonderful name. And then we hear the backstory of that. But it's important because so many of the characters are broken in some way, but find a way to go on with their lives and celebrate.
Well, it may just be the crowd that I hang out with, but most people I know are broken in some ways too, myself included. And so I think that that's also something that children aren't really necessarily exposed to in their reading, that we're not all made for Hollywood. We're not all cut to get the A-plus on our spelling papers. We're not all even sure what we're doing on the playground, whether we're with this group of kids or that group of kids. We're just fumbling around in our lives. And yet we have the capacity for joy and we have the capacity to be a comfort to others too. And we can cherish even the things that are sort of undignified about us because we have something to offer.
I just want to spend some time somewhere along the way with the old field mouse. What a wonderful character.
I loved him. He's the superintendent, and I think he's from Brooklyn myself. There's only a couple of lines that my editor asked me to take out of an early draft. And one of the lines is, at one point when the skunk comes for his visit and the skunk has dyed her hair a kind of platinum, he says to Mama Rabbit, you know, there's a blonde waiting for you in your apartment, va 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 voom. And my editor said, can you please take out the va 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 voom? And I said, look, he's a borscht belt comedian. He's making fun. He's not saying that, you know, like hubba hubba, like somebody might have said it in the 20s. He's saying it more like Jack Benny in the 50s. He's making a joke of that kind of runaway sexism. And she said, it's not funny to me. And I said, okay, I'll take it out. So I took out va, 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 voom. But anybody who reads the book can insert it in their minds when they get to that scene.
I love it. And I have to go back and reread that now just to find that. And I don't know that I've come across a better metaphor for the end that awaits us all than the final drainpipe.
The final drainpipe. I know it's out there somewhere. It's going to swallow us up eventually.
Well, it really is a wonderful book. And I wanted to give credit to David Litchfield, who created those beautiful illustrations.
Oh, Rich, I'll tell you. I think if the book is going to be a classic, and some people are already saying that about it, I'm not too proud to keep that from you. If the book is going to be a classic, it could well be because these are among the most beautiful illustrations you're going to see in this decade in a children's book. Furthermore, I will add that the book is profusely full color illustrated every fourth or sixth page in a chapter book of 220 pages. That's a huge number of color illustrations. It's an absolute gift outright, and he's a genius, I think.
Well, it's a beautiful book, a delightful read. The newest from Gregory Maguire is Cress Watercress. And again, circle June 7th on your calendar for a chance to check out Gregory in conversation with Patricia McMahon, sponsored by our friends at the Word Festival. And we'll post on the website information on how you can register in advance for that. Gregory, I've enjoyed your work for a long time. It's a treat to get to speak with you this afternoon.
Thank you, Rich. You have a good I was about to say have a good weekend, but we just got over the weekend. Have a good week and then a good weekend next weekend.
All right. Thank you, Gregory. Be well.
Okay. Take care now.
Gregory Maguire with us here on Downtown.